A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and I have to say, it's a prompt that feels like someone just described their dream job without realizing it's an actual career path. He's been doing deep product research, reading spec sheets, comparing suppliers, finding the best price for things like platform trolleys and modular storage. He's built a home inventory system, tracks warranties, and realized he genuinely loves this stuff. Growing up, his mom ran a picture framing shop, so he saw raw materials turning into products firsthand. The question is, what career does this actually map onto? What are the roles inside a purchasing organization? Where does the specialist who evaluates market options sit? What does compensation look like? And what's a day in the life actually involve?
This is one of those prompts where the person asking has basically reverse-engineered procurement as a profession from first principles. And what he's describing isn't just buying stuff, he's describing strategic sourcing, category management, and supplier relationship management. Those are three distinct functions that most people outside the field lump together as purchasing.
Because the word purchasing sounds like you're just placing orders, but what's being described here is the full research and evaluation pipeline that happens before anyone ever cuts a purchase order.
Here's the thing. The prompt mentions several different activities that actually map to different roles at different levels. Reading spec sheets and comparing products? That's a procurement analyst or a buyer. Evaluating the entire market, going to trade fairs, building relationships with vendors over years? That's a category manager or a strategic sourcing manager. Setting up tender processes and concluding contracts? That's procurement management, sometimes with a legal or compliance overlay. These aren't the same job.
Let's break this apart. If someone walked into a large organization tomorrow and said, "I love researching products and finding the best supplier," where do they actually sit?
It depends on the organization's maturity. In a smaller company, one person might do all of it. In a Fortune 500 company, these are distinct roles with distinct career tracks. At the entry to mid-level, you've got the buyer or procurement analyst, the person actually doing the research, comparing specifications, running the numbers. According to Glassdoor's most recent data, a procurement analyst in the U.S. is making somewhere around $65,000 to $85,000 a year, depending on industry and location. A senior buyer can push into the 90 to 110 range.
That's the spec sheet person. That's the role that matches what the prompt is describing. The person who enjoys diving into product details.
That's the core of it. But above that, you've got the category manager. This person owns an entire spend category, say logistics equipment, or IT hardware, or raw materials for manufacturing. They're understanding the entire supplier ecosystem for that category, building multi-year relationships, going to those trade fairs the prompt mentioned, and developing the sourcing strategy. Category managers in the U are typically in the 100,000 to 135,000 range, sometimes higher in specialized industries.
The category manager is the one who would actually walk a trade fair floor, shake hands with vendors, understand who's innovating and who's coasting on reputation.
Then above that, you've got the procurement manager or director of procurement, overseeing multiple categories, managing the team, setting the overall procurement policy. Those roles push into the 140 to 180 range, and at the VP level in large enterprises, you're looking at 200,000 plus.
Here's the thing I want to understand, and this gets to the heart of the prompt. Where does the specialist who evaluates market options actually sit within the team structure? Because it sounds like the person who does the deep research and the person who negotiates the contract might not be the same person.
That's the key structural question, and the answer varies by organization. In a traditional procurement setup, you've got a split between strategic sourcing and operational buying. Strategic sourcing is the research, evaluation, and negotiation phase. Operational buying, sometimes called tactical procurement, is the actual day-to-day purchasing, issuing purchase orders, managing deliveries.
The person who spends 3 weeks comparing Eurobox specifications from 6 different manufacturers is in strategic sourcing. The person who clicks reorder when inventory runs low is in operational buying.
In many organizations, those functions report up through different chains. Strategic sourcing often sits closer to the business units they support. They're embedded with the teams that actually need the stuff. Operational procurement often sits in a shared services center handling transactions at scale.
Where does the market research specialist fit? The prompt specifically asks about the person whose job it is to evaluate the market. Not just compare existing suppliers, but understand the full landscape of what's available.
This role exists, but it's often not called market research specialist. In procurement, this function is typically called a sourcing analyst or a category analyst. In larger organizations, there's sometimes a dedicated procurement intelligence or supply market intelligence function. These are the people who build the market landscape reports, track supplier financial health, monitor commodity price trends, and understand the geopolitical risks in a supply chain.
They're the reconnaissance arm. Before the category manager even starts talking to vendors, the sourcing analyst has already mapped the terrain.
This is where the skill set the prompt describes. Loving deep research, poring over spec sheets, finding trustworthy suppliers is valuable. Most people don't enjoy that level of detail. The people who do are rare, and good organizations know it.
What does a day in the life actually look like for someone in one of these roles? Because I think there's a gap between what people imagine and the reality.
Let me paint a picture for a procurement analyst at a mid-sized manufacturing company. Your morning might start with a sourcing request from the engineering team. They need a new type of industrial bearing with specific tolerances, and they've given you a spec sheet. Your job is to take that spec sheet and find 3 to 5 suppliers who can meet it, at a competitive price with acceptable lead times.
That's not just Googling industrial bearings. That's understanding which suppliers actually have the certifications, which ones have a track record of hitting their delivery dates, which ones are financially stable enough to be a reliable partner for years.
That's the difference between someone who's just placing orders and someone who's doing strategic procurement. You're also maintaining relationships with existing suppliers, maybe a quarterly business review where you go over performance metrics, discuss any quality issues, talk about upcoming needs. You're monitoring contracts to make sure pricing terms are being honored. You might spend part of your afternoon visiting a supplier's facility or on a call with a vendor who's proposing a new material that could reduce costs.
The prompt mentions trade fairs. How much travel is actually involved in these roles?
It varies enormously by industry and seniority. A category manager in manufacturing or retail might attend 2 to 4 major trade shows a year. Think Hanover Messe for Industrial Technology or the National Retail Federation show. A buyer might do more local supplier visits, day trips to tour facilities. At the director level, you might be traveling internationally to meet with key suppliers. But it's not constant travel, maybe 10 to 20% for most roles, higher at senior levels.
Let's talk about the home inventory angle, because that's a fascinating detail in the prompt. The idea that maintaining a personal inventory system changed how the prompter thinks about purchasing. Is there a parallel in the professional world?
Inventory management and procurement are deeply intertwined. In a business context, there's a whole discipline around inventory optimization. How much stock to hold, when to reorder, how to balance carrying costs against the risk of stockouts. There's a specific role called a materials planner or inventory planner who bridges procurement and operations. And increasingly, companies are using AI-driven demand forecasting to optimize this.
Someone who gets satisfaction from maintaining a home inventory system and tracking warranties. That's essentially the domestic version of materials planning.
It's exactly that. The person who thinks, I need to know what I own, when I bought it, when the warranty expires, and when I'll need to replace it. That's the same mental model a good procurement professional applies to a company's assets.
Let's go back to the organizational question, because I think there's a tension here that the prompt is getting at. If a purchasing department can do everything from simple ordering to complex tender processes and contract negotiation, how do you actually structure a team so people aren't doing all of it at once?
The most common structure I've seen, and this is backed up by what the Procurement Academy and other industry groups describe, is a 3-tier model. At the top, you've got strategic procurement, category managers, sourcing managers, supplier relationship managers. These are the people doing market analysis, developing sourcing strategies, negotiating major contracts. In the middle, you've got tactical procurement, buyers and senior buyers who handle the actual purchasing process, manage purchase orders, handle supplier communications day to day. At the base, you've got operational procurement, the transactional work of processing orders, managing catalogs, handling invoicing issues.
Where does the specialist who evaluates market options fit? The prompt asks this specifically. Where does the specialist who evaluates the market option actually sit within this team if there is such a role?
That specialist typically sits in the strategic procurement tier, often as a sourcing analyst or procurement intelligence analyst. In some organizations, they're embedded within a center of excellence, a small team that supports all the category managers with market research, data analysis, and benchmarking. In other organizations, each category manager might have their own analyst. The key thing is that this role is upstream from the actual buying. You're not placing orders, you're building the knowledge base that makes good buying decisions possible.
It's the difference between being the chef who plans the menu and sources the ingredients versus the line cook who executes the dish.
That distinction matters for someone considering this career path, because the prompt describes a love of the research and evaluation phase, the chef planning the menu part. That's strategic procurement, not operational buying. Someone who loves comparing specs and evaluating suppliers would probably be miserable in a purely transactional purchasing role where the goal is to process as many purchase orders as possible.
The prompt also mentions growing up seeing raw materials converted into products, the picture framing shop. Is there a procurement specialty that's closer to that manufacturing and production side?
Direct procurement, buying the raw materials and components that go directly into a product, is a distinct specialty from indirect procurement, which covers everything else: office supplies, IT equipment, professional services, travel. Someone who's fascinated by how raw materials become finished products would probably be drawn to direct procurement in a manufacturing context.
What's the difference in day-to-day work between direct and indirect procurement?
Direct procurement is much more integrated with production planning and engineering. You're working closely with the people designing the product to understand material specifications, with the production team to align delivery schedules with manufacturing timelines, with quality assurance to make sure incoming materials meet standards. The relationships with suppliers tend to be deeper and more long-term, because switching suppliers for a critical raw material is much harder than switching suppliers for office furniture.
Indirect procurement is more about managing a broad portfolio of categories, where the stakes per individual purchase might be lower, but the total spend across the organization is enormous.
And indirect procurement often involves more stakeholder management. You're buying things for internal departments who have strong opinions about what they need. The marketing team wants a specific type of promotional material. The IT team has preferences about hardware vendors. Part of the job is managing those internal relationships and helping stakeholders make good purchasing decisions without just taking orders.
That actually sounds harder in some ways. You're not just negotiating with suppliers, you're negotiating with your own colleagues who think they know what they need.
That's a huge part of the skill set. The technical term is stakeholder engagement, but in practice, it means convincing a department head that the supplier they've been using for 10 years isn't actually the best option anymore, without making them feel like you're undermining their judgment.
Let's talk about career entry points. If someone has no formal procurement background, but has the research skills and the mindset the prompt describes, how do they get in?
There are a few paths. One is through a purchasing or supply chain certification. The Certified Professional in Supply Management from the Institute for Supply Management, or the Certified Supply Chain Professional from API. These are well-recognized credentials that can compensate for lack of direct experience. Another path is through a related function. Someone might start in logistics, or inventory management, or even finance, and then move into procurement.
What about for someone who's coming from a completely different field? The prompt mentions working in AI and tech communications. That's not procurement.
The research skills transfer. Someone who's done deep product research, who understands how to evaluate vendors, who can read a spec sheet and compare options. Those are procurement skills, even if they weren't developed in a procurement role. The challenge is demonstrating that to a hiring manager. One approach is to build a portfolio. Document some of the research and purchasing projects you've done, show the methodology, show the outcomes. For an entry-level procurement analyst role, a hiring manager who sees someone who loves supplier research is going to pay attention.
Because most people don't love it. Most people fall into procurement. They don't seek it out.
That's the truth. Procurement is one of those professions that people tend to discover by accident. Someone's working in operations, the purchasing person leaves, they get asked to cover it, and 5 years later, they're a category manager. Someone who actively wants to do this work is unusual, and that enthusiasm is an asset.
What about compensation trajectory over a career? We touched on current salary ranges, but what does the arc look like over 10 or 20 years?
Let me give you a rough trajectory. Entry-level procurement analyst, 55 to 70,000. After 3 to 5 years, senior buyer or sourcing specialist, 75 to 95,000. With 7 to 10 years of experience, category manager, 100 to 135. Director of procurement or supply chain, 140 to 190. VP or chief procurement officer at a large organization, 200,000 to 300,000 plus, often with significant bonus and equity. These are U averages. Tech and pharmaceuticals tend to pay higher. Government and education tend to pay lower. Geography matters too. Procurement salaries in major coastal cities are 20 to 30% higher than in the Midwest or South.
The prompt mentions trade fairs and getting to know vendors. Is that actually a significant part of the job, or is that the romanticized version?
It's real, but it's not the majority of the work. A category manager might attend 2 to 4 major industry events a year, plus occasional supplier site visits. The trade fairs are valuable. It's where you see new products, meet potential new suppliers, and maintain relationships with existing ones. But most of the relationship building happens through regular calls, quarterly business reviews, and ongoing email communication. The trade fair is the highlight reel, not the day-to-day.
What about the tender process? The prompt mentions setting up tender processes and concluding contracts. How much of procurement work is actually running formal tenders versus more informal supplier selection?
It depends heavily on the sector. In public procurement, government agencies, universities, any organization spending public money, formal tender processes are mandatory above certain thresholds. There are strict rules about how you solicit bids, evaluate them, and document the decision. In the private sector, it's more flexible. Large strategic purchases might go through a formal request for proposal process, but a lot of purchasing happens through negotiation with a smaller set of pre-qualified suppliers.
The tender process itself, is that a specialized skill within procurement?
There are people who specialize in it, yes. In large organizations, you might have a procurement operations team that manages the RFP process, the e-sourcing platform, the bid evaluation templates. They're the process experts, while the category managers are the subject matter experts for whatever they're buying. The two work together. The category manager defines what they need and evaluates the bids on technical merit. The procurement operations person manages the process and ensures compliance.
There's actually a role for someone who loves the process of running a fair, transparent, well-documented supplier selection, separate from the person who knows everything about industrial bearings.
In some organizations, particularly in the public sector, the procurement operations or procurement compliance role is a significant career path in its own right.
Let's circle back to something the prompt mentions. I don't like buying things frivolously. Is there a philosophical alignment between that mindset and procurement as a profession?
I think there is, and it's underappreciated. Good procurement is fundamentally about spending organizational money as carefully as you'd spend your own. The best procurement professionals I've known have a kind of fiduciary seriousness. They feel a genuine responsibility to get good value, not because someone's watching, but because wasting money offends them on some level.
It's almost a stewardship mindset. You're a steward of the organization's resources.
That mindset is what separates a great procurement person from someone who's just processing transactions. The transactional buyer processes the purchase order and moves on. The strategic buyer asks, is this the right product? Is this the right supplier? Are we paying a fair price? Could we structure this differently to get better value over time?
What's the burnout risk in procurement? Because the prompt describes this as something the person enjoys, but doing anything 40 hours a week is different from doing it as a hobby.
The main burnout risks are stakeholder fatigue. constantly having to justify your decisions to internal customers who don't understand the supply market, and the pressure to deliver cost savings year after year. In many organizations, procurement is measured primarily on cost reduction, and there's only so much cost you can squeeze out before quality or reliability suffers.
The person who loves researching the best product might find themselves in a job where best is defined too narrowly as cheapest.
That's a real tension, and it's one of the reasons why the more strategic procurement roles, category management, supplier relationship management, tend to be more satisfying over the long term. You're measured on total value, not just unit cost. You have the latitude to consider quality, reliability, innovation, sustainability, not just price.
The prompt also mentions maintaining warranties and being conscious about what gets purchased. Is there a procurement specialty around asset lifecycle management?
There is, and it's growing. It's often called asset management or total cost of ownership analysis. The idea is that the purchase price is only a fraction of what something actually costs over its lifetime. You've got maintenance, repairs, energy consumption, disposal costs. A procurement professional who can model the total cost of ownership and use that to make better purchasing decisions is extremely valuable.
Which connects back to the home inventory system. If you're tracking warranties and maintenance schedules for your own stuff, you're essentially doing amateur asset lifecycle management.
That's the kind of thing you can mention in an interview. I built a home inventory system that tracks purchase dates, warranty periods, and maintenance schedules because I find it satisfying to optimize the lifecycle of the things I own. That's not a weird hobby. That's a procurement mindset applied to personal life. A good hiring manager will recognize that.
What about the social dimension? The prompt mentions trade fairs and getting to know vendors. Is procurement a good career for someone who enjoys building relationships?
At the strategic level, absolutely. Supplier relationship management is a whole discipline within procurement. The idea is that for your most important suppliers, you don't just negotiate a contract and then only talk to them when something goes wrong. You build an ongoing relationship, regular check-ins, joint innovation sessions, shared forecasting. The supplier becomes almost like an extension of your own organization.
That's different from the adversarial model people might imagine. The buyer squeezing the supplier for every last cent.
The adversarial model still exists, but it's increasingly seen as outdated for strategic supplier relationships. If you're buying a commodity where suppliers are interchangeable, sure, you can play hardball on price. But if you're buying something complex or customized, where the supplier's expertise and reliability matter, treating them as a partner rather than an adversary tends to produce better outcomes.
Let's talk about industries. The prompt mentions a platform trolley and Eurobox modular storage. That's logistics and materials handling. Is there a procurement career specifically in that space?
Logistics and warehousing procurement is a significant specialty. Companies that operate distribution centers, fulfillment centers, manufacturing plants, they're constantly buying material handling equipment, storage systems, conveyors, forklifts, packaging. There are procurement roles specifically focused on this category. And it's actually a great example of a category where the spec sheet obsession the prop describes is useful. The difference between a good platform trolley and a bad one is in the details of the caster specifications, the load rating, the deck material, the ergonomics of the handle.
Eurobox modular storage. That's a whole ecosystem of standardized containers that work together. Someone who enjoys understanding how different sizes and configurations fit into a system would thrive in that kind of procurement.
That's the category management mindset in a nutshell. You're not just buying individual items, you're understanding how they fit into a larger system, how standardization reduces costs, how modularity creates flexibility. That's exactly the kind of thinking that makes someone valuable in procurement.
What about the technology side? Procurement has been digitizing rapidly. E-sourcing platforms, spend analytics tools, supplier management systems. Does someone coming into this field need to be technically oriented?
They don't need to be a programmer, but comfort with data and systems is increasingly important. Modern procurement involves a lot of spend analysis, pulling data from ERP systems, categorizing it, identifying patterns and opportunities. There are specialized procurement platforms like Coupa, Ariba, Jagare. Being able to work with these tools and being comfortable with the analytical side of the work is a significant advantage.
The prompt mentions working in AI and tech communications. That background would actually be relevant because procurement technology is a growing space, and someone who understands both the procurement process and the technology stack is valuable.
Very much so. There's a whole field of procurement technology consulting, helping organizations select and implement procurement software. Someone with tech comms experience who also understands the procurement workflow could be very effective in that space.
Let's address something the prompt doesn't explicitly ask, but implies. Is procurement a satisfying career? Does the day-to-day reality match the appeal of the research and evaluation process?
I think it depends heavily on the organization and the specific role. In a well-run procurement function where you're empowered to make strategic decisions and your expertise is respected, it can be deeply satisfying. You're solving puzzles, you're saving money, you're building relationships, you've seen the tangible impact of your work. In a poorly run function where you're just processing purchase orders and nobody listens to your recommendations, it's a grind.
The key is finding an organization where procurement is actually valued as a strategic function, not just a clerical one.
That's the single biggest factor in job satisfaction, and it's something you can screen for in interviews. Ask how procurement is organized, who the CPO reports to, whether procurement is involved early in the decision-making process or just brought in at the end to place the order.
The prompt mentions the mother's picture framing shop, the experience of seeing raw materials become products. Is there a procurement career path that keeps you closer to that physical, tangible side of things?
Direct procurement in manufacturing is probably the closest. You're buying steel, plastic, electronic components, whatever goes into the product. You're walking the factory floor, talking to the production team, seeing the materials you sourced being turned into finished goods. It's very different from indirect procurement in a corporate office, where you might be buying software licenses and consulting services.
There's something satisfying about the tangibility. You can point to a product and say, I sourced the components for that.
That's a real thing, and it's one of the reasons people stay in manufacturing procurement for entire careers. There's a pride in it.
What about the international dimension? The prompt mentions getting to know vendors. In a globalized supply chain, does that mean international travel and cross-cultural negotiation?
Even for mid-sized companies, the supply base is often global. A procurement professional might be working with suppliers in China, Vietnam, Mexico, Eastern Europe. Understanding cultural differences in business practices, negotiating across time zones, managing the logistics of international shipping. These are all part of the modern procurement skill set.
That's another dimension where the research obsession pays off. Understanding a supplier's local context, the regulatory environment, the labor market, the infrastructure, that's deep research that most people won't do.
It's the kind of thing that separates adequate procurement from excellent procurement. Anyone can compare prices on a spreadsheet. Understanding that a supplier's apparently lower price is because they're in a region with unreliable electricity and you'll face production delays. That's the level of insight that makes a real difference.
Let's talk about certifications more concretely. If someone wants to make a career shift into procurement, what's the most efficient path to credibility?
The CPSM, Certified Professional in Supply Management, from the Institute for Supply Management, is probably the most widely recognized in the U. It requires 3 years of professional supply management experience and passing 3 exams. For someone without the experience, you can start with the CPSD, Certified Professional in Supplier Diversity, or the APICS Certified Supply Chain Professional, which has a broader supply chain focus. These are cheap. The CPSM runs about $2,000 to $3,000 all in, but they signal seriousness to employers.
There are university programs now too, right? Procurement and supply chain management degrees?
Yes, many universities offer bachelor's and master's degrees in supply chain management. But for someone making a mid-career switch, the certification route is usually more practical than going back for another degree.
What about professional communities? The prompt mentions trade fairs. Are there industry associations where someone could start building a network before they even have a job in the field?
The Institute for Supply Management has local chapters all over the country that hold regular events. There's also the Association for Supply Chain Management, the National Association of Purchasing Management. These are great places to meet people, learn about the field, and hear about job opportunities. And they're usually very welcoming to people who are exploring the career. You don't need to already be in a procurement role to attend.
That's actually a practical next step for someone reading this. Find your local ISM chapter, go to an event, start meeting people who do this work.
Honestly, the kind of person who wrote this prompt, someone who loves the research, who's built systems for their own purchasing, who's curious about how supply chains work, that person is going to make a strong impression at those events. Enthusiasm is noticeable.
Let's address one more organizational question from the prompt. Where does the specialist who evaluates the market option actually sit within this team if there is such a role? We've talked about sourcing analysts and category analysts, but I want to be even more specific. In a large procurement organization, is this a standalone role or is it embedded?
In my experience, it's usually one of three models. Model 1, the analyst is embedded with a category team. They report to the category manager and support that specific category. Model 2, there's a centralized procurement intelligence or market research team that supports all categories. Model 3, the category managers do their own market research, and there's no dedicated analyst role at all.
Which model produces the best results?
The centralized model tends to produce more consistent, rigorous market research. You've got specialists who are really good at this specific thing, and they develop deep expertise in research methodologies, data sources, analytical frameworks. The embedded model produces research that's more tailored to the specific category, but the quality depends on the individual analyst's skills. The do-it-yourself model works fine for simple categories, but breaks down when you're dealing with complex global supply markets.
If someone wants to be that specialist, the person whose job is to understand markets and evaluate options, they should look for organizations that have a centralized procurement intelligence function.
Or organizations large enough that they should have one, even if they don't yet. There's an opportunity there to build the function from scratch, which is a great career move for the right person.
The prompt mentions tender processes and concluding contracts. Is contract negotiation a separate specialization, or is it something every procurement professional does?
It's a spectrum. At the buyer level, you might negotiate with the supplier on price and delivery terms for a specific purchase. At the category manager level, you're negotiating master agreements that govern the relationship for years. At the most complex end, large organizations have dedicated procurement legal teams or contract managers who handle the legal terms, while the category manager handles the commercial terms.
Someone who loves the research and evaluation part but hates negotiation could still have a procurement career. They'd just focus on the upstream analysis rather than the downstream contracting.
That's actually the role the prompt is describing. The person who figures out what the options are and which one is best, not necessarily the person who hammers out the final contract.
What's the most common misconception about procurement as a career?
That it's just about cutting costs. The best procurement professionals are value creators, not just cost cutters. They find suppliers who bring innovation, who improve quality, who reduce risk. They structure deals that benefit both parties over the long term. The cost-cutting stereotype is about 30 years out of date, but it persists.
The second most common misconception?
That it's boring. Procurement touches every part of a business. You're learning about whatever you're buying. Could be jet engines, could be marketing services, could be rare earth minerals. You're negotiating with people from all over the world. You're solving puzzles where the constraints keep changing. It's interesting work if you're the kind of person who finds supply chains and markets interesting.
Which the prompter clearly does.
And that's the thing. When you read a prompt like this, where someone has essentially discovered the intellectual pleasures of procurement on their own through personal projects and curiosity, you think, this person should be doing this professionally. The field needs more people who are passionate about it, not just people who ended up there by accident.
If someone listening identifies with this, they've got spreadsheets tracking their home inventory, they spend weekends comparing product specifications, they get a genuine thrill from finding the perfect supplier. The message is, there's a career for that. It has a name, it has a structure, it has a compensation trajectory, and there are people who will recognize that enthusiasm is valuable.
The entry points are more accessible than most people think. You don't need a specific degree, you don't need to have started in procurement at 22. If you can demonstrate the research skills, the analytical mindset, and the genuine interest in the work, there are organizations that will take a chance on you.
That's probably the most useful thing we can say. The thing the prompt is really asking, is this a real job? Can I actually do this? And the answer is yes, it's real. And yes, you can.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Byzantine court ceremonial manual, De Ceremonias, compiled under Emperor Constantine VII in the 10th century, survives in a single manuscript and describes, among other things, the precise number of steps required for different ranks of officials when approaching the imperial throne, varying from 3 full prostrations for minor officials to a complex sequence of bows, pauses, and measured advances for the highest nobility.
I can't decide if that's more or less bureaucratic than modern procurement.
At least we don't have to prostrate ourselves before the category manager. To wrap this up, if there's one thing I hope someone takes from this conversation, it's that the skills and instincts described in the prompt are valuable in the professional world. The person who loves researching suppliers, comparing specifications, finding the best option at the best price, that person has a procurement mindset. And procurement is a career that rewards that mindset with a clear progression from analyst to category manager to director, with compensation that reflects the value you create, and with work that touches every part of how an organization operates.
If you're that person, start building the bridge. Get a certification, join a professional association, go to a local ISM chapter meeting. The field is full of people who fell into it. Someone who chooses it deliberately is going to stand out.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping this show running, and to everyone who sends in prompts that make us think about things we might never have explored otherwise.
If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. We're at My Weird Prompts. I'm Korn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. We'll be back next week with another prompt.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.